Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
It's an FBF Friday. It's got to be, and F stands for food, too. Like, holy cow. We already had pizza because of a bad bet that Travis made. And now we just met Mr. Blake.
Yes, Mr. Blake.
From Blake's Barbecue and Burgers.
He looks like Philip Bailey.
Yes, he does. And he looks like he could be right in there on Earth, Wind, and Fire on the Victory Tour.
Well, I've already went in on the burger, and it's very good.
So if you want good barbecue and burgers, why don't you hit up Blake's? Blake's is right there on Janetta between Richmond and Westheimer, and he has been doing it for like 40 years. He just came back from Sweden, where he had to bring some grub to the good people outside of the country.
They were doing a story on his burgers?
Yeah, to understand just how good they are. We do have the connoisseur of all things that are all things edible, Travis Johnson. So he will also be giving us a review by the end of the day when he's done jamming out to the tunes,
you know,
that DJ Nick is twisting. So, guys, I gave you an hour to get comfortable, settled in. We talked some business. Now I need you to step away from reality, because what I'm about to do is something that you have never experienced before, and I don't know, based on how long we keep doing this, you'll probably experience again. But it's not something that you're ready for, I can guarantee you this, okay? Mm-hmm. Every show has at least one of these guys. I have this guy. My friend Kurtlo, who I was forwarding tweets to you last night, has a very twisted sense of reality when it comes to his favorite basketball team, which happens to be the team playing at the Big Sequoia here in the middle of downtown Houston. They obviously did not play well in Game 1, and Game 2 happens to be this evening against the Dallas Mavericks. With all that being said, and now that he's put down his tapes that he likes to punch the VCR remote with when he's reviewing talent, Kurtlo is back on the show.
He did say tapes Kurtlo, yesterday.
Welcome back, and let me understand, man. I'm going to lay it out for you. We've got two football players here that know basketball, and they're no nonsense guys, so you got to bring it to stay correct, but I welcome you to the show, my friend. Meet Travis, meet Keenan. Break it down for us.
Listen, my man, I love you, Joel, but I did not pick the Rockets to go championship round this year. I got them fourth and fifth. And
that still may be way too much.
Also, I was being sarcastic yesterday when I was talking to my Nick buddy when I said that they were far superior team. The Lakers were a far superior team than the Rockets, okay? I might have to delete that tweet because I've received a lot of hate, not just from you.
I didn't give you hate. Now, let's be clear. I didn't give you hate. I just had to call. I actually asked a question to make sure that you had a chance to get out of the statement because it was so ludicrous.
It was very ludicrous, but again, it was sarcasm, but you can't see sarcasm on Twitter. I understand that. You know what I mean?
That's right. I hear you. There is no way that you can tell tone in a written message. But with all that being said, you now have a forum in which we can tell right away what you've been drinking and what you're on. So what is the forum open to today when talking about your favorite basketball team?
Man, I'd like to talk about the Rockets, man. You know, I hear a lot of people disrespecting the Rockets right now, and it's they shouldn't have lost to that team last night, and there's no ifs, ands, or stuff about it. But defense was a real problem yesterday. I mean, 2 days from Wednesday night. And, you know, it was so big that, you know, nobody played team defense. You know, I don't like Nene playing, okay? I don't care what anybody says.
What is that? His name, Nene?
Or Nene.
He doing the Nene?
It's Nene, Nene. It's whatever, you know, it's whatever. Where emphasis you put on the syllable.
Whatever the hell his name is.
There you go.
Hilario, Brazil, whatever you want to call him, man. But the man shouldn't be playing. He was a minus 14 next to Ryan Anderson last night. Capella's a plus 8. We need to get away from this thing where we don't want to play Capella because of his offensive game. He's one of the best pick and roll guys in the NBA. He's also one of the reasons why Dwight Howard's not in Houston right now. Okay, if y'all haven't read the last article with ESPN, they said Rockets management pushed Dwight Howard on the bench for more minutes for Capella.
Right.
There's a reason for that, gentlemen. Capella is one of the best defensive centers in this game right now. Whether people want to believe it or not, you need defense when you got three offensive players that need to be countered with defense.
But Kurtlo, I understand that from a shot blocking perspective. But what you going to do when someone's got more sand in their shorts and they're going to back him down on the low post and he's a spaghetti noodle and he can't hold his own on the defensive low post to try and keep someone from scoring on the block?
That is a thing of the past.
Capella, what's a thing of the past? It's called basketball.
Hey, Is he putting bricks
in his? He gonna put weights in his pants?
He better do more than that, right?
Because he is still a buck. He's 200 and what?
You see how Kurt Lowe changed the subject? He was like, "Oh, that was different."
Y'all need to stop watching all these football games. Okay?
Capella's 262.
262. 240.
Go look at the tape and go look at basketball reference. 262 and he added 20% apparently. But Kurt Lowe, here's the deal. Do you know those stats are inflated? Joe Louis was 145 years old when he fought Rock Marciano.
You do not know that,
right?
Kurt Lowe, here's the deal, man. One guy can't leave my basketball reference account. Kurt Lowe, here's the thing.
The biggest thing is that, you know, I give you respect.
We talk one-on-one, and I try and break it down for you honest as I can. But the biggest thing that I say, one guy's not going to make that difference, right? First of all, I disagree. Well, obviously you do because the Kool-Aid is cold and the glass is wet.
Well, Kurt, here's the thing.
We talked about this yesterday, too. Even if you have Capella out there, which is fine, leave him out there. But no one else around him is helping to defend anybody. They have no – Ryan Anderson can't stop anybody in the low post. Ryan Anderson can't stop anybody with any sand in their shorts either on the defensive end. All you get from him is a glorified Matt Bullard that's going to make jump shots for you, and he has great range. But you need more than that, or you need help around him. You lost Demo. You lost Dwight Howard. You have a Clint Capella who, I'm sorry, is limited offensively in the low block. Yes, he can play some defense, but he's very, very raw, and he's also very, very light when it comes to – they don't have any low post scoring from the fours and the fives. So that's a huge problem. But what you're talking about is putting one guy out there on an island, and he's supposed to be responsible for anybody and everybody coming in the paint, going to the basket. That's fine, but if you get kickouts, if you get one-on-ones, like that's all the Lakers ran. They didn't run any sets. They didn't run anything that was complicated. All they did is play 1-4 flats and isolation on the wings, and you guess what? They got wide open looks, knocked down threes, and when push came to sub, your boy Harden ran out of juice. He didn't have anything left in the tank. He wasn't getting any help, and the Lakers put him away, and they're sorry. They shouldn't have been able to do that, and because they did, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that it was game one. But if it continues, short and long term, it's going to be a long year.
But you know what, Joel? We thought about this the whole time with D'Antoni. You know what I'm saying? Everybody thought, well, yeah.
It's the wrong hire, Kurt Lowe. It's the wrong guy for this team.
I agree 100%, but when we're talking about when you got Ryan Anderson out there, right, you can't have Nene that can't protect the paint and protect the rim in the game with him because it's going to be a disaster. The same thing with a James Harden.
Okay, Kurt Lowe, and I agree with that. I agree with that, but you also realize that there's a legitimate – I completely agree. Nene is way past his prime. There's a reason why they got him for 1.3, but here's the thing. They got a minutes restriction on your boy. He can only play 24 minutes a game. So you want Capella to be out there more, and they're saying because of his stamina, he can only play 24 minutes a game.
Exactly.
What is that? He's 24 years old. He's supposed to run like the wind. If they got a 24-minute restriction on him, how are you going to have him out there more than Nene?
It might not be a restriction because of his wind. It might be a restriction because he's a young guy that can't handle the pressure of the game.
The pressure.
I mean, think about this.
You know what you're going to do at 24.
The reason I think Nene is starting is because of experience.
I agree.
It's because of experience. Capella, if you watch his game, he makes mistakes. He makes
especially
a lot.
Yeah,
he turns the ball over a lot.
He gets on the perimeter and starts reaching. He's a good defender when he just goes straight up and down, but he likes to reach and get silly fouls.
Yeah.
That gets him in trouble.
You might get Clint Capella starting later on in the year once he gets some experience, but I think it's the plus minus ratio that you was talking about. Mm-hmm. I would love to see the plus minus ratio of Clint Capella.
Well, Kurt Lowe, here's the thing, though. I know you didn't realize this, but that's the biggest answer to your question. You can't have him out there if there's a restriction on his minutes. So regardless of anything else, and regardless of whether I agree with you, he should be the starting center, and he should be out there more than Nene, because I think Nene, all he wants to do is face the basket, and he's on the downside of his career. But at the same time, if he's on a minutes restriction, there's not much more you can do, because you don't even have fours that can fill in at the five like you did last year.
How do you even have a 24-year-old on your team that can only play 24 minutes? At 24 years old? You know we was able to do it. You know you were able to do it 24 years old.
And you know you're going into D'Antoni's system where the one thing you got to do is put your track shoes on.
Exactly. So you got to get in shape. You got to spend the offseason and get right.
He should love it. You say he's 260. I see they saying he's 220. But if he's gained to 40 pounds.
So what's the difference? Even at 240.
At 240. He's running up and down the court. At 240, He should run all day.
At 2-4.
Circles around anybody. Because we all know that it's not a center's league anymore. And that at 240, when you can run like a gazelle, you can run circles around the offense and the defense. And in a D'Antoni system, he should be getting 15 points a game just on dunks and putbacks.
I'm pretty sure DeAndre Jordan is probably even bigger, weighs more, taller, and he'll run all day long.
How about Biyombo and...
Bismack Biyombo. Biyombo's a big, strong, physical guy.
They're comparing him. Those two are the type of guys. They want to compare him to Biyombo.
Ever since I've seen him, I've said he could develop into a Serge Ibaka type, but you can't put weight on a guy that doesn't have hips and doesn't have shoulders.
I haven't seen him make a jump shot yet.
Well, but that's something you got to develop. But again, what I don't like, too, is a lot of people think he's got touch around the basket. And I've said all along, he better try and dunk everything because he doesn't have touch with either hand around the basket. So, Kurt Lowe, we appreciate the call. Keep rooting for your team. If we come out of this weekend and they're 0-3, I expect a little bit more of a realistic approach when we talk again. But have a great weekend. Hey, we want to talk to you as well. 713-780-ESPN. Join the fun. Join in on an FEF Friday where we've got plenty of football and fun and all kinds of things lined up for you. We'll even try and get Calvin Murphy on at the bottom of the hour. How about that? We'll get him to join us so he can talk some realistic Houston Rockets basketball. Whatever you want to talk about, hit us up. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, Travis Johnson, and Nick Sherrara till 4 o'clock. We've covered some Rockets. We've covered some Houston Texans. We'll cover what you want to talk about as long as it's worth talking about. You can reach us at 713-780-ESPN, where you can call in if you want to hear your own voice. You can text us if you want Nick to read your material and deem whether it's worthy or not of airtime. And or if you want to tweet us, like some of you guys have been doing with great pictures of the Kool-Aid Man. We love the fact that you guys are on board with our show. You know that we meet in the living room. You know how you move up in the living room. You know that if you have drank the Kool-Aid, we're going to let you know. By the way, Nick, that Progressive commercial that's out there now, it's absolutely awful because the Kool-Aid Man comes through the wall. And they don't use the audio that we have of the real Kool-Aid Man like we were kids. It's like some Kool-Aid Man that got his nuts snapped off because he's got a high-pitched, oh, yeah, and it just doesn't fit right. But you guys get the idea because you're sending us pictures of the Kool-Aid Man. Now, we know that the Kool-Aid's been consumed at a high level on Kirby based on what the expectations were of that team. And now we're only one game into the NBA season. We already have Kurt Lowe, which we know has overdosed on tangy red Kool-Aid. And there's a little bit too much sugar in it. But we want to know where you are in terms of the concern level with your Houston Rockets and when you're ready to jump. Because we kind of were all realistic, just like Trapp was saying we were realistic about the Texans at the start of that season. I think if we all went around the room again just to recap and we said where we thought the Rockets were going to finish, both win-wise and placement-wise, I had said all along that it's, instead of pursuit, they should start saying pursuit of the eight spot.
Yeah.
Vegas said 43.5, and I said maybe a game or a game and a half more than that. So I'd go 44 at best, but I'd say they'd be between the 7 and 8 spot.
You know, I always, when I determine like how many games teams are going to win during the season, I just find out what Mattress Mac thinks. You know what I mean? When Mac puts up like furniture for and says, you know what, if they win over this amount of games, you get the furniture for free. I say, you know what, Mac has a pretty good grasp on the amount of wins. So, you know, I feel it if I'm feeling frisky if I'm, or not, you know, so I agree with you. 43 games is what it's going to take to get the 8 seed, I think, probably. But,
definitely.
I mean, right now, the way they played yesterday or 2 days ago, I don't see them making the playoffs.
I think, Mac, the biggest thing, too, is you look at what's around them and who got better. Minnesota got better. Utah got better. Portland got better. Memphis got better. San Antonio may have gotten better even though they lost Tim Duncan because Pau Gasol.
The best acquisition in the offseason, Pau Gasol.
Yeah. Goes to the Spurs, that's what I'm saying.
Nobody even talked about it.
That's Timmy huge. On the downside,
that is
and
huge.
You get Pau Gasol who still got something left in the tank.
And Pau was one of them guys that when he left L.A., Kobe was salty.
He was
Kobe
hot.
Kobe wasn't salty about losing a lot of players. You let one of the most dominant big men in the league leave L.A. and he didn't care. He was like good riddance.
Okay, I think he went a little far on the most dominant big man. But I will say this.
He's talking about Shaq. He's talking about Shaq.
I thought you were talking about Pau Gasol.
Why would I be talking about Pau Gasol?
You know, that CTE, I don't know what goes through your
head. No, but I'm just saying. But when Pau left, he had an issue. He had a real issue.
He had a real issue. He
that
was
tells
hot.
You yeah, if the mama felt that way, that means he could really play. He was respected. Not only did we know his fans, he could play ball, but he was respected by his peers.
He was mambified. I mean, when you're mambified, that means you can walk on water in Laker colors for as long as you want. So Kobe wasn't happy about that. So, Mac, break it down for me and your perspective on the Rockets.
You know, I really think, 43 games, like you guys said, is going to be the spot for number eight. You know, I think James has tried to take a leadership role. You know, it's to be seen what happens. You know, the first game didn't look like it.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, you go in and play the Lakers, everybody's saying it's going to be the worst team in the West. They outplayed you. One-on-one, like you said, isolations. They did all that. And
they didn't run one set play all night
long. And guess what?
And they succeeded.
And guess what the biggest thing was when they got D'Antoni? We were talking about what?
Defense.
Defense. There was no defense.
No, not at all.
That's because the choice was made because upper management there believes that offense is sexy. And the owner has always been a guy that's very much in favor of offensive basketball teams. But when your glaring weakness is defense,
you don't go get a guy who can't play.
Let's just look at what happened, right? Because what you just mentioned.
Right.
Okay, let me break this down for you. The fact of the matter is, if the head coach himself wasn't worried about the fact that their glaring weakness was going to be a problem again, then why at the very first press conference did he put it all on someone else and say, I'm responsible for the offense. Jeff Bezdelic here, he's our defensive coordinator. He's going to be the guy.
How do you,
if you want to talk defense, but don't come to me, talk to Jeff. And he said that, and I went, red flag, red flag, red flag, sound the sirens, because guess what? The coach is already washing his hands going, can't fire me because the defense isn't my deal.
But here's the thing. Yeah. You hired a defensive coordinator. There's no such thing as a defensive coordinator in basketball.
But they are starting to do that right now. Why?
Because it saves the head coach's job.
But it saves the head coach's job, but that's lazy basketball.
I agree. Because,
yes.
Like you have one job. You coach 13 guys.
Yes.
You tell me, you don't coach 53.
15.
You coach 15 guys. Mm-hmm. That's how many guys you coach. 15. You tell me you can't coach. I can go find a coach at the Y right now and coach offense and defense.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Well, and you tell me you can't teach it.
Trav, we go no further than what we talked about yesterday. Think Greg Popovich needs a defensive coordinator?
No.
Man, he needs an offensive coordinator?
Man, no. Greg Popovich spit on your shoes. You talk about you need a defensive coordinator. Hey, Pop, I want to get you a defensive coordinator.
And sip another drink of his wine and go, really, boys?
Exactly.
Really? Because you know what the thing is? And again, the good coaches in this league, they don't need coordinators.
So why do we hire this coach if he's not a good coach?
Because offensively, everybody seems to consider, and I know you've heard this before, guys, but they consider him to be an offensive guru.
So why don't you hire somebody else and let him be an offensive coordinator?
Well, there's a question you might want to send to the Big Sequoia. Because the fact of the matter is that you had a chance to do it right, okay? And the other thing that you didn't do, which you should have done, which cost you, was everybody had highlighted who was out there. But because you were in the playoffs, even though everybody and their mother knew you might win a game, but you were gone fishing pretty quick, right? You should have been having the hotline on speed dial to Scottie Brooks and Tom Thibodeau and all these guys that were top of the list everybody's wish list. Because by the time you got bumped from the playoffs and you went, well, what's left now? Washington hired Scottie Brooks. Minnesota gave the farm to Tom Thibodeau. Jeff Van Gundy said he was never even contacted. All of a sudden, you're looking around going, time for a retread.
Hey, do you wonder if Jeff Van Gundy wasn't contacted because of...
I know why.
At the time, you're thinking, okay, we might keep Dwight, and Dwight has a bad relationship with Stan because Stan held Dwight accountable?
No, but I tell you this. On the flip side, it was the easiest way that you could get rid of Dwight because the report, you know, everybody's saying that there are reports that they didn't want Dwight and that James didn't want Dwight and that, you know, we get all these reports about they wanted to limit his minutes and everything else. What's the easiest way to get rid of Dwight Howard? He's a free agent. Guess how you get him to opt out and go away? Bring in his coach from L.A. that he didn't like. It's that simple.
Yeah.
My question is...
Oh, I didn't... You know what? You just gave knowledge to me.
Yes, that was great knowledge.
I forgot all about that.
Well, my thing is this. How does Dwight Howard fit in this whole thing if he was here? I think he would be great for him.
He'd be fantastic.
Because he can run. He's athletic enough to run up and down.
Sure.
He'll be fantastic. And I think that's the only good part about when he was in
LA.
He had
7 rebounds in his first 6 minutes last night?
Yes. Yeah.
But I think the issue with Dwight is Dwight knows on the other end of the court, this guy doesn't preach defense. For one, when he was in L.A., this guy he helped throw me under the bus when he was in L.A.
No doubt.
You see what I'm saying? And so now when you bring him in here, and he said, if he doesn't preach defense, it's going to put more wear and tear on me. Because now I got to protect the basket at all times. I'm going to get You saw in the first two games of the season, I think it was like 10 people got posterized. You'll see Dwight Howard getting posterized every week if he had to play here in this type of defense.
Absolutely right. And that's another reason why I said that he didn't want to be here. And from a Rockets perspective, again, they hate looking like the bad guys, right?
Well, they are the bad guys.
So this is the way they do that. They bring in a guy that does it all for him because D'Antoni was his coach in L.A. and they knew that he wasn't going to have another stint with Mike D'Antoni. We just bring in D'Antoni and Dwight goes away. He takes his $23 million with him. We get off the hook on that so we can spend it on two guys. One guy's a glorified Matt Bullard and the other guy can't stay healthy. So if you can't get right, then you go get somebody else's guys that can't get right either and bring him in and take a shot.
He's a glorified Matt Bullard.
Without question.
I'm a big Matt Bullard fan. He's going to have to show me he's a glorified Matt Bullard.
He can shoot
Bullard.
It. I can tell you that. But he ain't going to want to go down guard somebody in the low post. Nick doesn't want to do that either. Hey, we're hoping to get Calvin Murphy next because if Murph comes on, I guarantee it'll be more of the same. Murph's going to call it like he sees it, like he does every single night on Root Sports Southwest, and that's where they debut tonight. Their first game on Root. It's the Rockets and the Mavericks from Big D tonight, followed by the home opener Saturday night at the Big Sequoia. I don't know that we'll be there, but we'll talk about it on Monday, and we'll talk about a whole lot more in just a bit. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Talk to him. Hey, we got a guest. I'm going to let you know, boys, right now. Keenan McCardell, Murph, you've met him before. Travis Johnson. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Travis Johnson, you haven't. But aside from a clock in his belly, he is one heck of a great dude.
I know you're on the radio, like, Murph, but you're the sharpest dressed man that I know.
Yeah, we used to do CSN.
Okay, so Murph, you met Travis over at CSN, that defunct network that we all had hopes for.
Yes, we did.
And you already know me because you're a member of the family. So we like to call it the living room here. And as people progress with good takes and quality information, we elevate them from the floor to a beanbag chair to a recliner. But when you're Hall of Fame and you bring everything that you bring to the table, we're going to put you right smack dab in the middle of the love seat. That's all yours. We're not even getting close to it.
We don't even want to get close to that.
It sounds like the hot seat to me.
No. Right now that hot seat is reserved for Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans and Rick Smith, the general manager. You're only one game in. So you're not on the hot seat. You're on the good seat. That's all I'm going to tell you on that. So before we get to all these suits and the fact that I got names for them, because a friend of both you and I is the guy responsible for all that and the fact that you're ready to break out some more unbelievable duds, let's talk about your squad. A rough one against the Lakers. We've just been kicking it around here a little bit. We realized no defense was played. We realized James Harden put up big numbers. But again, the biggest glaring weakness is the defensive side of the basketball. And what I saw late in preseason that gave me hope, I lost hope quickly based on what I saw against the Lakers.
I was disappointed, obviously, and the players were disappointed that they go to L.A., and that could have been obviously a good start. But the fact that they're going to play seven of the next nine games on the road, is imperative that they win a few games that they should win when they are on the road. Now, with that being said, my brother, they of course, defense is going to be the key to what the Rockets do this year, because you know and I know, with James at the helm, they can put up some serious numbers. It's going to be one of those situations this year that the Rockets have got to play team defense. We have a shot blocker. Now, what's a true shot blocker? A true shot blocker to me is someone that the offense is afraid to go to the basket on. Right now, you know, you have Nene and you have a Capella who hasn't gotten a reputation yet of being that type of a player. So you've got to play defense on the floor, not put your big men in jeopardy by allowing your man to penetrate and then call upon them to block shots.
Well, Murph, my thing is this. Are they getting enough ball pressure on those guys out front to warrant to letting the big guys stay under the basket and letting them come to the big guys instead of getting caught in the pick and rolls and stuff?
Well,
Well, you know, that's a good question, but I can't answer that question for a couple of weeks because I'm not sure right now what their defensive concept is. You know, they got a new coach, new defensive coach, and they're a lot of new players. And this is not covering, you know, the mistakes that they made the first game. But until I can find out what they are actually trying to do defensively, I can't question that. I'll tell you what I would do. Number one, with the way the defense is constructed, I would put my guards in a three-quarter defense and put pressure on the offensive team so that they don't get a head start going north and south and can attack the basket. Make them go, you know, laterally and use some clock.
Well, also make them play half court, right? Make where they had, like the Lakers didn't run one offensive set the other night. They played freestyling, as you would say, free-stroking, freestyling street ball. They were running nothing but ISOs and letting it fly from all over, and they still, the Rockets still couldn't stop them.
Well, but you know, I understand one thing. The Rockets' offense, as you know, Joel, is they're going to play that 3-point line. Well, yep. The 3-point line, if you're shooting well, that's fine. But if you don't, if you miss, that creates long rebounds. And that long rebounds leads to fast breaks. And with the fast breaks going and you can't touch anybody, you're going to get yourself into foul trouble. So with that being said, it's difficult to try to put them and have to slow them down, and then offensively, you give them the edge again by shooting from the perimeter and not make it.
Quick, Calvin, it's Travis. Could you see a problem leading into, let's say, a week or two from now if their record is not that good with how the team perceives D'Antoni as far as are they buying in? Do you see it being a problem if they go the next three games without a victory, if they go four games without a victory, or win an ugly one? Do you see it eventually being a problem where the locker room kind of uprises against him and they come out here like Kevin McHale?
Let me say this, and Joe, I tell you because I believe it, not because I have to say anything, but I'm a big believer. Tony, I had a good chance years ago when I did the World Clinics for the NBA to work with Mike when he was in Italy. He was my liaison. I myself believe in his system. I myself believe in the fact that, you know, when you put something on the floor, the players have got to have time to buy into it. Now, with new coach, new system, new players, it's going to take a minute. But you still got to figure out a way to beat the teams you are supposed to beat. So I'm not going to disguise that. But Mike's system and the players really believe in it from listening to them and watching them practice. So I don't think they're going to mutiny right quick. No, not at all.
So do you think that's just locker room? That's Patriot type speak when they say, yeah, we agree with it, we like it. But when you get a guy who's paid to come help us get over that hump, as far as in the playoffs, and he has to hire a defensive coordinator, how do players look at that? And you as being a Hall of Famer, do you look at this as being a lazy coach, or do you look at this as being a guy who just knows his weakness and he's going to find somebody to help him with his weakness?
Especially today is a team game. So with that being said, you've got to buy into the system, and each player's got to believe in each other to make this thing work. Now,
Murph, you got a bad connection, so try to stay still because we keep going in and out, and you're bringing a lot of knowledge. I want everybody to be able to hear it.
Okay. Now, with that being said, their new players, their new coach is going to be tested because of the schedule. Now, most teams win. You know, the teams that win more than 50% of their games at home, and then they sneak, you know, they sneak 25% of the games on the road to be a team. Well, with that being said, they're going to be tested early because of their schedule. 16 out of the next 20 games on the road. So you can't panic on the Rockets yet. You've got to give them time to feel their way. You got to give the other teams in the league.
All right, Murph, let's... All right, Murph, before we let you go, because your connection's bad, and I wish it wasn't, because I wish we had a hard line, because you're bringing a lot of knowledge, but I need you to calm down now, because I know you're fired up, because I know how passionate you are about this team, but I know that you always bring it. You always brought it when you were a player, and now you bring it every night when you're on TV. You had to miss the season opener because it was a national TV game, but I also know that you are going to bring it and you are going to come correct tonight because it's your first appearance on TV, which means a lot to you. And I know that we said all along that we're going to make sure we start naming some of these outfits because some of the things that you bring to the table are completely outrageous and they're phenomenal. I said Tiger Woods, they used to map out what he's going to wear the 4 days of a golf tournament. But if you go out to West Oaks Mall and you go out to see our friend Hottie at the shop, you know that there's going to be mannequins for the next five games to know what Murph's wearing. I said the one that looks like Chanel was the Gucci Coochie Goo. You got that. You had the Space Age Love Song, which is that shiny one.
My best one was the blue jean, all blue jean, Murph.
Forever in blue jean.
Let me say this to you. What I'm doing this year, Heidi's bringing a whole new flavor for me. Now, what I'm doing is, it's dependent on my attitude. That day is what I'm going to wear. For instance, today I'm in a nasty mood. I'm in a nasty mood. So today I want people to tune in and say, is the man on drugs or what? That's where I am.
Well, that could be one of two things.
There's going to be times when I feel sweet and mellow and mild, and I get close to you. I might even wear a businessman suit this year. What do you think, Joby?
I've seen it once.
No, Murph, you can't go there. Don't go there, Murph.
He exchanged it up on him.
No, that's when the authorities try to come down on Murph and tell him that he's been saying a little too much, or he's got to tone it down a little bit. Then he gets all ticked off and goes three piece on him, and that with that you get a biscuit because I'm telling you. But what I like is because what he just said means one of two things: he's either going with a leather one, or he's going with like a lime pea green.
No, he's going with a double double, Murph. You're going with a double double. I know. I got a feeling it's going to be a double double.
No, let me say this. Joby, yes, I have a nice leather suit this year, but I'm not wearing it tonight, so you're right about that. Right now I'm looking at, and you're close, my outfit will have some green in it. It won't be lime. It'll have some green in it.
No, I said so pea green, Murph, because when you're upset, pea comes to mind before lime.
Hey, Murph, can you wear a fly guy type outfit from I'm gonna get you sucker. I want you to come out in a polyester blue or yellow and walk with some goldfish in your shoes when you come and
stay off the drugs, my brother.
Murph, you know these NFL guys go through that CTE for all the them blows to the head. Sometimes it gets a little bit out of hand.
You know what's so funny? Antonio Fargas is a good friend of mine.
Yeah,
Huggy Bear.
I went to school. Huggy I know Bear. Pops.
Yeah, he never lived those shoes down.
Oh, he still got them.
You know, if I put those shoes on, I could not go back into the community.
No.
Murph, but the bottom line is the fish may be dead, but the shoes are still alive and kicking. Hey, we know you got to do a game tonight, so we appreciate you checking in. You're always welcome in the living room, but we know I love you to death.
Call me back because we got to get into some serious rapping this year, Joby.
No doubt, man.
We got to get into some serious. Give me a chance to look at the system. Give me a chance to give you some real honest opinion of where they're headed and go from there.
You got it, my man. Always welcome in our living room, Murph. Thanks for the knowledge, and we'll see you on the TV tonight.
You know what's funny, though?
Give me a kiss for me.
You got it, my man.
You know what's funny is me and Justin Fargas actually went to high school together.
Yeah, I was going to say, but he played football, right?
Yeah, he played for the Raiders. Yep. So we went to high school together. So that's my best friend since we was kids. You know, I'm actually the godfather of his young daughter, Justice.
But you know what's crazy for us is like we know who Huggy Bear was, yeah. Starsky and Hutch and all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
There is a large population of our listening audience has no clue what we're talking about.
And I remember when I think I had to be 13.
Like Nick. I bet you Nick has no idea who Huggy Bear is.
Do you know what Starsky and Hutch is? You know the new Starsky and Hutch.
You know with Snoop and all that. Yeah, nah.
You're going to have to Google search Starsky and Hutch and Huggy Bear, but it's worth your time.
And when I was 13, I actually walked in one of the little side rooms and saw the goldfish shoes. And I was like, man, I wish I wore this side because I want to take these to prom.
Yeah, you want to bust those
out. He like, man, track, get away from that. Get away from that. I'm like, man, I want them.
Hey, Ken, we see you. We had to get the Hall of Famer in, Calvin Murphy. But we see you want to talk about Rockets. We'll get back to you and anybody else who wants to be a part of the show, 713-780-ESPN. We are on an FBI Friday. We are having a whole lot of fun. And we just had Calvin Murphy. Who's next? You'll never know unless you stay tuned. 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis Johnson just yelled, "Hey, Kool-Aid." We're waiting for the big red pitcher now to come through the wall because he's a little thirsty in here. We are dropping knowledge with guys like Calvin Murphy. We are talking about NFL with the guys that know it best, like my man Keenan McCardell and Travis Johnson. We're here till 4 p.m. We've been talking about some Texans. Now we had Murph on. We were talking some Rockets. We had the delusional Kurt Lowe on for entertainment purposes alone. And now we've got calls that want to continue the Rockets discussion. So without further ado, Ken's been holding the longest. Ken wants to talk about Dwight Howard. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello,
what's up, man?
What's up?
What's happening?
Slow motion. Hey, man, I ain't busting no grape.
Look here.
I already know. I would like to personally extend my thanks to the Houston Rockets for my Atlanta Hawks getting Dwight Howard. We hadn't had a center since Tree Rollins, I'll say.
That boy said Tree Rollins. Well, you pulled out what? Well, you a real fan, man.
Hey,
former
man,
Rocket,
man,
too.
I was down there when I used to go to the Omni. So, you know, that let give you a little idea how old I really am. So, but, you know, hey, he did his thing, man. And I got to say, it's refreshing to finally have somebody who can kind of man the center for us while we let our men go out there and hang out there on the perimeter and do their thing.
I was going to say, I was looking at the box score, Ken, and I'll say that if you'd have told the Rockets at the start of the season that your starting center was going to give you 19 rebounds, 3 block shots, go 4 of 9 from the floor, go 3 of 4 from the free throw line, and put up a double-double, I don't think that's a bad line.
It's not.
Because it still creates enough space and room for your guards to get what they're going to get. But you got a guy that, like you said, he mans the paint on one end.
They don't lose by 7 points if he's here.
No, they don't. They beat the Lakers.
They flat out
beat the Lakers if he's still in a Rockets uniform. I agree with that.
Hey, man, you know, hey, what can I say, man? He played at the crib. But lastly, I got to say this because I got my little boy. I'm trying to keep him together. What about my Falcons taking down Green Bay this
weekend?
Ken, you hit a nerve right there.
Ken, you just went from like a good seat in front of the TV to like right between the dining room and the kitchen. Look, I'm a realist, Ken. They have no idea. They have no idea where they're going to find multiple guys that can stop Julio Jones. That is going to be a huge problem. Now, Coleman being out helps, and also Freeman's going to have his hands full because they stopped the run really well. This is crazy for me to say this, but I'm not concerned about their run defense, and I haven't been concerned about their defense all year long because even though Ezekiel got his, they were in that Cowboy game. Rodgers just turned the ball over too much. But I'm more concerned about their offense. So from the perspective of weighing it out, the pass defense, they're very much wounded in the secondary. Green Bay is. So I would look for Atlanta to throw it around, especially with only one running back. And then from the other side of the ball, it's going to be your defense. And you got a guy, one of our old guys in A.J. Hawk. But, you know.
A.J. Hawk isn't there no more. They got rid of him. They cut him.
Oh, the Falcons cut him too?
Yes.
Yeah, they cut him. They picked up Steven Ridley who just played with the Patriots.
Oh, from the Patriots. Okay, so they went offense. Okay, so here's the deal. I just think that it's going to be your defense, and basically the Packers can't self-destruct either. But it's going to be if Green Bay's got a shot, they got to try and find some help in the secondary that slows down Julio Jones because he's going to go nuts.
And Ken, likewise, your defense has to play somewhat.
Right.
I mean, so it's the battle. It's the battle of the offenses right now. I think it's going to be the battle of the quarterbacks.
There's a great reason why they moved that game to the primetime 3:25 slot Sunday afternoon. It should be fun to watch either way. But I appreciate your passion for your teams, man. Thanks for calling in, and don't be a stranger.
Hey, you'll hear from me Monday. We're in the loop.
What?
Win or lose, he said, you'll hear from him Monday.
Hey, man, we look forward to it. Give us a ring back, and hopefully I got something to talk about.
Hey, you know what's not to cut you off because before this call, but I'm looking at this schedule.
Yep.
The Rockets potentially might not win a game until the day before the election, November the 7th. Like, that's a possibility. They got Cleveland, New York, Atlanta, and Washington really is.
Washington's not a bad team.
They're not a bad team. And that's the first game where you say, okay, this is a chance you have to win. But if they don't win that game, they got back-to-back with San Antonio after that. Then got Philly with a young Philly team. You know what they're doing right now.
We were talking about one of the teams that impressed me the other night was Philly's young talent's coming together a little bit.
They are.
With Embiid and Okafor, you got a front line.
Yes, you do.
And this is even before we mentioned Ben Simmons, who they may try and shelf for the year just so they can stockpile another draft pick.
No doubt.
But they got some talent now.
But then you leave there and you go to Oklahoma City and then Portland. Like, this schedule is not, like, I know Cal was talking about all this schedule was,
You start losing early.
Four It's going to be a trend.
Boys, 14 of their first 20 are on the road.
And it's not good road places either.
Exactly.
So that's a tough schedule.
They can come out of the first month of the season not only licking their wounds, but going, what was the license plate number on that bus?
Be like, which one of you kicked me?
Mike, you want to join in on the conversation? 14 of the first 20 on the road, but you says Rockets on the board, so you bring it and we'll sing it. What do you got?
What's up, fellas?
What's up happening?
Hey, we talk about the Rockets, man. You know, I was, the thing about the Rockets is this, man. You know, you had an opportunity. You had Dwight Howard. Instead of you sitting around and trying to make the thing work, you know what I'm saying, you alienate him and kick him out of town. Okay, well, what did you bring in? You know what I'm saying? What did you bring in to take his spot? You bring in Nene. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about not Nene from when he played with Denver. We're talking about AARP Nene.
Right. Well, but you know what? I mean, Mike, look, to be fair, they used that money to go get Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. But again, they didn't use it to replace what they were losing. And I was very clear about this yesterday and today. They have no low post scoring. They have no one that plays the low post anymore because of the fact that Capella's light in the loafers in terms of he's got no sand in his shorts. He's a skinny kid. Like you said, Nene is way down the line in terms of the end of his career. And so overall, right. they used to be able to bring Monty Unis in that could give you some low post scoring because he had offensive moves on the post. They have nobody.
But Joel, that's not their offense to play low post. So let's see what happens with this. I mean, and you know, maybe that's why.
Would you just pick a flavor?
But no, I'm just saying they don't. I mean, D'Antoni doesn't play low post.
No, he wants to get out and run. But again, Capella now he's on a minutes restriction too. Well, so let's keep that in mind.
I'm with you. So let's see what happens. I mean, I don't see
Mike. How long do you ride the wave before you start pressing panic?
I'm not sold on it either.
You're already off the wagon.
Yeah, but this is the part that gets me because I didn't even get on the wagon. But this is the part that gets me. Okay. If you knew that you were going to get rid of Dwight Howard last year, you knew that you were going to be trying to push him out of town, why didn't you use him as bait to bring something in? Why didn't you go ahead and trade him?
It sounds too much like right.
It's not like people going anywhere.
It sounds too much like right.
Well, and the thing is, Mike, they were trying to sweep it under the rug like they weren't shopping him. They were trying to get anybody that would at least take the phone call to consider making some kind of move. But the thing that bothers me the most about it is that they didn't want to take anything back in return that would strap them with the salary cap. Yeah. But what you just did by signing those two guys pretty much guaranteed the roster is what it is for the next 4 years. Handcuff the hell out of you. So good luck in jail and understand what you got because you made it and now you got to lie in it. And that's as simple as it gets. Two in the books, one to go. We can start talking more football if you want with the Texans getting ready for a big one against the Lions, or we can continue the Rockets talk. You tell us what you want to talk about. Tyler, we see you checking in, and we'll get to you next. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.